You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret's out this week. Coming up tonight at 7, it's Latino USA. Today, the show spends a day in a bodega in Washington Heights, New York City, home to one of the biggest Dominican populations in the United States. That's Latino USA tonight at 7. First, last night the probe Juno started orbiting the solar system's biggest planet, Jupiter.
All stations on Juno Accord, we have the tone for burn cutoff on Delta B. Gratitum, Juno, welcome to Jupiter.
That was Mission Operations Center at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab in Pasadena, California, with cheers there from the staff. Scientists received the signal confirming Juno's success late last night. It took 5 years for the spacecraft to travel this far into the solar system. Juno has a $1.1 billion budget, and its principal investigator said this is the hardest thing NASA has ever done. Bill Andrews joins us now to talk about the Juno mission and what we might learn from it. He's a senior associate editor at Discover Magazine based in Waukesha. Bill, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back.
Well, Bill, how excited were you to hear the news that Juno made orbit around Jupiter last night?
Well, I was pretty happy. I mean, it was a nice Independence Day. The weather kind of cooperated with us yesterday here in Wisconsin. And then to find out late at night that everything had gone almost eerily perfect. Everything was super precise, which is just the way NASA wants it. But you never know. There's all kinds of stuff that could have happened. So to know that the Juno probe got there and it entered the orbit exactly as they'd hoped and everything is perfect, and now we have a nice few months of orbits and observations and measurements and all of this good science coming up, it's a good time.
So this mission began 5 years ago. I gather the trip took 5 years to Jupiter. But now that Juno is there, what are the big questions that NASA is hoping that Juno will have answers for?
Well, a lot of it is just to learn more about Jupiter itself. I mean, it's the biggest planet in the solar system. I think if you don't count the sun, it has something like 60% of the mass of everything else. So it's got a lot of stuff, and yet we still don't really know all that much about it. It's got this very vibrant, interesting-looking atmosphere with all its swirls and bands and the Great Red Spot down there. But they're also really thick, and it's hard to tell what's going on underneath them in the planet's deeper atmospheres. Scientists don't even know for sure if it has a solid core like a lot of the inner planets, like Earth and Venus and Mars, or if it might just be gas all the way down, more like the sun. So all kinds of stuff about what Jupiter is currently like, and hopefully by learning all the details about its structure and what makes it up now and studying its just unbelievably strong magnetosphere and the radiation belts around it and all this other weird stuff around the biggest planet, hope to learn not just about Jupiter's story but about the solar system story and where Jupiter formed in the early days of the solar system and what it might have taken away from some of the other planets or helped do to some of the other planets, and you know, not just learn about the solar system, but ultimately even other planets out around other stars.
That's a lot of stuff you just named there.
A lot of stuff.
For
one
mission. And
that's right.
Juno's going to be hanging out around the poles, you said. Or that's what I've read, that there's something specific about how close it is and where it's going to be in orbit. What do we know about why that matters?
Well, it's going to be taking this polar orbit, which is just kind of going from the North Pole to the South Pole and back up again over and over as it maps the surface of the planet. And when I say surface, I mean the gaseous surface. There's no hard, like, landing areas that it can touch down on. And that's important because by taking this really close, just about 3,000 miles off of that gaseous surface, and staying so tight to the planet for a lot of its orbit, the Juno probe will be able to stay out of some of the worst radiation areas that are just a little bit farther out from the planet. So those can be really hazardous to the space probe, to any kind of electronics, can mess with it very severely. So by taking this tight, super close orbit, not only is it going to be some great views for the spacecraft and its cameras and everything, but it keeps it out of harm's way, too.
We're talking with Bill Andrews right now, senior associate editor at Discover Magazine based in Waukesha, and we're talking about the Juno probe, which is in orbit around Jupiter right now. And let's listen to a clip right now of Scott Bolton, Juno's principal investigator. Here he is talking about Jupiter's moons.
It's also representative of nature. This is how we look. That's a mini solar system. And so I think it's very, to me, it's very significant because we're finally able to see with real video, real pictures, this motion.
So Jupiter's moons, I know that the moons of Jupiter are intriguing, especially Europa. What are we hoping to find there?
Europa is a lot of people's favorite moon around Jupiter because it's one of the best places where there might possibly, sort of, maybe, I don't want to get people's hopes up, but there's a chance that there could be life there. The conditions, as far as we can tell, on Europa are favorable or at least possible for life to come up, maybe in some way, since there's water, there's a heat source, there's chemicals there. So that moon in particular has long been of potential interest to scientists and sci-fi nerds alike. The other moons, the other big famous moons that are in orbit around Jupiter, the so-called Galilean moons, which are the four biggest ones, including Europa, are just part of the iconic nature of the Jupiter, the Jovian system, that when Galileo first, the Italian scientist, Galileo Galilei, first looked through his telescope at Jupiter, he saw these four little, maybe tinier stars. He didn't know what they were at first, and he saw that they were going around Jupiter much the same way that Mercury and Venus seemed to be going around the Sun. And it was that observation that helped him really realize that Jupiter is just another one of the planets in the solar system and that we must all be going around the Sun. So there's a lot of history in those four, you know, the Galilean moons that we'll be learning more about how Jupiter interacts with them, with its giant magneto, with its radiation belts and all of its magnetical fields. And the other thing, though, that I just want to add is that this mission will really be extraordinarily focused on Jupiter, the planet, too. That there have been other probes that have gone to Jupiter. The Galileo probe about 20 years ago orbited Jupiter, and it really focused a lot on these other moons and learned a lot about them, but it left the main planet itself still kind of in mystery. So we're going to be focusing mostly on the planet itself this time.
I want to go back to something you said earlier about maybe possibly a slim shot at life on Europa. Mm-hmm. I mean, are we talking about microbes here? We're not talking about ET. What, is there any sort of expectation about what that life would be?
Well, I mean, again, any time that life comes up in a serious space science talk, you have to be so careful because you don't want to get people's hopes up. We don't know anything for sure. There haven't been any findings of any kind of life or evidence of it or anything. Just it looks like maybe it's possible that life as we know it could exist there. So whether that takes the form of little microbes or maybe something akin to fish swimming in this giant moon-wide ocean underneath its icy surface, maybe something bigger, it's hard to say. Everything is speculation at this point. So we just know that it's possible maybe for life in some form to exist there.
So the ingredients,
that's very satisfying, right?
The ingredients are there. We just
exactly.
have to go look.
Exactly, and hopefully one day we'll be able to. This mission won't be able to shed too much light on that specific question.
Now, talking about what the planet might be composed of, it sounds like one interesting question might be hydrogen and possibly metallized hydrogen. Can you talk about how that could come into play?
Sure. Well, that, again, goes to the question of maybe what kind of core are we talking about that Jupiter might have. Already we're able to tell that the vast bulk of Jupiter is hydrogen, and then the second fastest bulk is helium. Just like the rest of the universe at large, just like the Sun, hydrogen and helium take up the biggest part. But it's possible with the huge pressures that we're talking about in the center of Jupiter that hydrogen can take on this form, the still theorized form of metallic hydrogen, which would be kind of a new thing. You can freeze the gas into a liquid, but so far, on Earth at least, we haven't been able to get it into this metallic form. So if they're able to find out that that is what's going on in Jupiter's center, it would be not just a boon for all that other stuff I said before about the planet and the solar system and everything else, but even just for the fundamental nature of one, the most fundamental element, hydrogen. It's just one proton in that nucleus, the first one. So even learning about the most basic stuff that makes up the rest of the universe here, possibly at our fingertips by observing Jupiter.
Now, when will we start getting data, especially the good stuff that scientists are most excited about?
Right. Well, it's still going to be a little while because while it's in orbit around Jupiter right now, Juno is still kind of getting its bearings and will take about 53 days is what I've seen before it gets into its final orbit, which will be this nice tight, the polar one that will take just 14 days to go for one orbit. Right now, it's taking this big, longer one because it had to get out of the journey toward Jupiter in the first place, and you can't do that all at once. So for now, it's kind of looping way around in this extra exaggerated orbit that won't be super useful for observations. But it does have its cameras on. We have already been getting some images as it approached Jupiter, so we know the lens caps are off and things are working. And it looks like at the beginning of next month will be its next close approach to Jupiter, where it will be able to get some measurements. And then it'll be in October, I want to say mid-October, that it'll really be able to get in this tight orbit, really start jamming on all the science it can do.
We're talking to Bill Andrews right now from Discover Magazine, talking about the Juno mission, which just entered Jupiter's orbit last night. And we're taking your calls on this at 800-642-1234. Do you have any questions about the Juno mission? Were you watching it last night, waiting for Juno to make orbit around Jupiter? And are you interested in what NASA is up to? Do you want to see a NASA doing this and more? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue our conversation and get to your calls in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. We're picking up our discussion now about NASA's Juno mission to Jupiter with Bill Andrews of Discover Magazine. And we're taking your calls right now, too, at 800-642-1234. Were you watching this last night? And do you still care about exploring outer space? Is it still something that excites you and that you think the United States should be putting an effort into, exploring the universe, getting data? And what are you most looking forward to seeing from the Juno mission and learning about Jupiter? Call us at 800-642-1234. And you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Bill, one thing about this mission is that at the end of it, sounds like Juno will crash itself into the planet. Why is that?
Well, that actually ties back to what we were talking about earlier, and they just want to make sure that they can get rid of this probe and its possible earthly infectious contaminants without messing up any of the other moons, especially Europa. Should there be life on that moon? We don't want it to face any kind of hardships or trouble or anything just because some bugs from Earth happened to stow away on the probe and made their way to the moon. So the safest way to get rid of it, which is what NASA did for the Galileo probe 15 years ago-ish now, is just send it right into the planet itself and let it heat up and disappear inside the mists of Jupiter.
Hmm. You said it had been 15 years since Galileo. How has technology changed since then? Obviously, there's been a five-year lag while it traveled to Jupiter, but does Juno have technology that's going to give us better stuff than before?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we can just consider like the difference in consumer technology from the Galileo probe entered orbit around Jupiter in 1995. So if we consider, you know, what personal computers were like, what digital cameras were like, if anybody had any, you know, all that kind of just everyday tech compared to the things that we had in 2011 when we launched the Juno probe, already you can imagine all kinds of greater sophistication with the cameras, with the equipment, with the communications. NASA engineers had a few more years to practice getting the orbital mechanics right with other flyby missions that have gone near Jupiter, with all the other planetary missions that have been going on recently. So all this extra expertise, extra technology will be able to get us just the best view that we've ever had of not just Jupiter and its system and everything, but really being able to peer inside past its cloud tops into what's going on within Jupiter.
And you said we may even be able to get clues about the known universe and our own planet. What kinds of pieces of the puzzle are possible to pop up there?
Well, one of the main things that they're looking for in with the Juno probe at Jupiter now is to see how much water is in its atmosphere. And they already know that Jupiter has water in its atmosphere already, but now they'll be able to find out exactly how much and what kinds of concentrations of other elements, other stuff in the atmosphere there. And the whole point of that will be able to help the researchers and the theorists be able to figure out what part of the solar system Jupiter formed in. And if it's got all kinds of water, if it's got tons of water in its atmosphere, then the odds are Jupiter formed farther away from the sun where there were lots more, or from the nascent sun, I should say, where there was more ice and there was more colder stuff and water was more abundant. And if they don't find that stuff, then they can tell the opposite. Then Jupiter probably formed close to where the sun was forming, where things were hotter, less volatile stuff like those ices. So by being able to tell where in the solar system Jupiter likely formed, they can tell all kinds of other things about how it might have moved. They call it planetary migration throughout the solar system over the billions of years. Maybe it kicked out some other gas planets that we've never seen because they got kicked out. Or what kind of role Jupiter might have played in possibly protecting the inner solar system from getting bombarded by too many asteroids and comets, with Jupiter's massive gravity being able to kind of fling them away and deflect them. So just all kinds of solar system insights by studying all this kind of stuff about Jupiter.
And Bill, as we wrap up, less than a minute to go here, but do you think that people are still engaged, still care about exploring the universe, care about NASA? We've dialed back, or NASA has dialed back manned space missions, and we have been sending unmanned spacecraft up, but is the enthusiasm still there?
Well, I might be a little biased because my personal enthusiasm is just so high. But I do feel like people just inherently like this stuff. And Hubble photos are always very popular when they, you know, they have these just beautiful images of a distant galaxy or a colorful nebula. Or I feel like among the sciences, astronomy and space stuff has to do a little bit less of the why this is cool kind of justification that a lot of, you know, bio stories, oh, well, this can help fight cancer, or chemistry stories, oh, new materials. You don't have to say that a lot with space stories. It's just this tells us about the universe. And, well, you're a part of the universe, and that's kind of neat. Everyone can look up at the night sky and see more or less what we're talking about. And if you've ever gotten the chance to see Saturn or Jupiter or a galaxy through a telescope, you can really feel that visceral just, there it is. And I feel like that kind of gut, visceral reaction to space is still something that people feel today. And
Bill, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
That was Bill Andrews, Senior Associate Editor at Discover Magazine, based in Waukesha, talking about Juno.